Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. And Merry Christmas to each one of you. Tonight, actually this morning, what I'd like to do is highlight a verse that sometimes we fly over, but it has a very significant detail. The angel shares these words to shepherds. Luke chapter 2, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Dear friends, the world counts people, and once the world decides on the number that it wants to accept, if your number is in that range that the world accepts, you're in luck and life goes well. But if you're not within the number that the world counts and accepts, and you're on the outside with the number looking in, you're out of luck and you're on the outside looking in. And it doesn't feel good to have a number and not count for anything in life. I had that experience just this last summer when we were registering our car down at the DMV in Corvallis. You got to go into the DMV and you know how it works. Register your car and pay a little fee. How hard can it be? So I walked into the DMV to get my number. My number was 87. I looked around and saw that there were lots of people seated there. It was a packed place. Maybe it's been like that for you when you've gone to the DMV. And I sat down and waited for just a little while. And I looked up and saw the red blinking light of the customer that they were serving. They were on 73. I waited about 45 minutes. And by that time, they were up to 79, and I thought in my head, you've probably been there before, my goodness, why does this take so long? Waited 15 more minutes. The DMV is closed. And with that, it's as if my number didn't even exist. It's as if the time that I spent there didn't count for anything, and the DMV did not announce, you can come back tomorrow and you could be first in line. No, you actually don't count at all. You see, that's one of the worst feelings in life, when you have a number and it really doesn't count for anything. Have you ever been there and experienced that before? Well, this morning, I'd like to just highlight a little detail here that's going to really, really challenge us, I believe. Because it says in the Bible in Luke chapter 2 that the people that hear the first message that Jesus is born are who? Shepherds. Luke chapter 2 says these words, one angel says to these shepherds, "Fear not, for unto you I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people." All people. What kind of shepherds are these? That's an important detail here, my friends, that I want to highlight. You see, in first century Judaism and in the Middle East, there were two kinds of shepherds. There were peasant shepherds. There were nomadic shepherds. Big difference. Peasant shepherds were the ones that you hung around with and you partied with and you had festivals and customs with. They lived in your neighborhood. You knew who they were. I say that because they lived in the village, and what they did with their sheep is they got up early in the morning, they grabbed their coffee, their latte to get them going, and then they took their flock out into the hills and were with them all day, and then they brought them back into the village and stayed in with their family and hung out with their community. And their neighbors, they knew him really well. That was a peasant shepherd. Jesus has this in mind, by the way, when he says this parable. When a shepherd goes out and he wanders off and he finds his lost sheep, he picks it up and puts it in his arms and he brings it back and he has a party with his neighbors, Jesus said. That's a peasant shepherd. Partying with neighbors, festival, you're connected with people, you've got a good name for yourself. Then there were nomadic shepherds. Nomadic shepherds didn't have a home. No home. They wandered the fields outside of Bethlehem, we can imagine, going from field to field. They were distrusted. They were known as tricksters and frauds and liars. And whenever somebody figured them out, they would simply pick up their flock and then they would go to the next hill where nobody knew them. See, here's the detail in the Gospels. You know it well. The Bible says the angel came to shepherds who were watching what? Their flock by night. Those are nomadic shepherds. Not peasant shepherds, nomadic shepherds. And here we have in our Gospels that the first people that hear the good news that Jesus is born are these shepherds. Well, what's the point that you're making here, Pastor, this morning? Well, here's the point. Actually, let me make it even more clear. These were shepherds that had a number, but they didn't count in the world. We heard very well in our children's message this morning from Joyce that at the time that Jesus was being born, a census was happening. Caesar Augustus decreed it. And you see, that was a big deal because you were getting a number. You were getting a number that really mattered. Everyone was getting a number. And that's why you have migration in the Gospels. And Joseph and Mary are traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And people are going about, so forth. That number meant quite a bit. The number that you received meant that you were either in the Roman world or you were part of Jewish culture. That number mattered. Everyone got a number except one kind of people. You know who they were? Nomadic shepherds didn't have a number in the census. They didn't count. But in God's eyes, they counted. And they were numbered. The very people who fell through the cracks of social society were given the message that Jesus was born. God's gift of joy was meant for, see, it doubles down. God's gift of joy was coming for all people, even nomadic shepherds. There's the Christmas message. Forgiveness, grace, mercy for all people on the earth, in the world. How are we doing with that today in our culture? Do we recognize that it is for all people? We struggle with that, don't we? Our culture, that, and young people that are here this morning, our culture grinds at us and teaches us to say Christmas is just meant for a little pocket of people that are Christians. For everyone else, it's holiday, the holiday season, and holiday cookies, and holiday greetings. And you see what the culture has done around us is it's limited Christmas to just a small pocket of people and separated it from how holiday is supposed to be seen. But it's not just the culture that limits the Christmas joy for all people. We do it ourselves, don't we, sometimes? We think that the Christmas message is just for those that we're close with in our families, in our homes. We can come to the conclusion that the Christmas message is just for those that we gather and have a special time under the tree and the lights. We can think this. We can think that Christmas is just for those who have the doctrine of the Christian church right on, and only those get the Christmas message. We can think the Christmas message is for only those that we agree with politically. Fear not. I bring you great news. Good news with great joy for all people. Dear friends, that's the beauty of the Christmas message. And it's unique in the messages that we hear today. So often the stories that we read count people, and only a certain amount of people get to succeed, and everyone else is excluded. Our culture says count people, and only those that are counted count. Everyone else doesn't get in. We do it ourselves. And the Christmas message teaches us that Jesus is for everyone. And to highlight it even more clear, the very first message is given to shepherds, nomadic shepherds at that. It's shocking. And you know, the reality of it is, friends, is if it's for nomadic shepherds, those on the fringes that doesn't count, this message is for you. This message is for each one of you. Jesus came to die for our sins on the cross for all people. In God's eyes, you matter. In God's eyes, every human life matters. every human life, every person. Please take that away today. You know, in about a month, there's something big that also comes into our culture, and that is the Super Bowl. Yeah, the Super Bowl. I actually don't really like the Super Bowl very much. And I don't know who to root for. So what I do is I open up the paper and I look at the point spread and I look for whoever's going to be the underdog. And I root for the underdog. You know, the quarterback that was working at a gas station a couple years before, the wide receiver that wasn't on anyone's draft charts, the coach that kind of blew up and he's trying to resurrect his career. That's the team I root for every year. I want them to win. And I root for them, and I want them to hold up the trophy. But you see, then the Super Bowl actually comes. And those mean defending champions come out. Typically the New England Patriots. They walk out, and they win. And the underdog is crushed, and the final score is something like 52-7. And we're like, why in the world did I ever root for the underdog? See, don't... We feel like the underdog in our lives, don't we? Life can be going along quite well, and things are falling in place. It seems okay. Life goes on a little bit longer, and things fall into place, and it seems like the future looks really well. Then all of a sudden, at just the right crucial moment, at the wrong moment, I should say, something comes into our life, and it crushes us. And as underdogs, we lose. That's the way it feels. A medical diagnosis, some of you are experiencing this. Broken relationship, loss in family, Christmas brings that up inside of us. Christmas is kind of like the Super Bowl, except there's a little difference there. There are the underdogs. There's Joseph. He's like the wide receiver that no one thought would make it. Mary, she's like the person in the draft that no one thought would ever be a part of the team. Then you have the shepherds. They weren't on anyone's draft list. No one wanted them. And then you have a baby who's going to be the savior and king of all. No way is he going to be special. Absolutely not. And then on the other side, you have world might and sin, the New England Patriots. And they always win, and they always crush the other side. Except, friends, this time, and it's not a comic story here, my friends. It's not fantasy. This time, the underdogs win. Joseph and Mary are the holy family. The shepherds hear the voice from the angel and play a very important role. And the baby Jesus dies for the sins of all the world. And the greatest news is this. You're not just spectators, friends. You're brought onto the team. You're on the team of the underdogs. Your voice matters. The sin that Jesus died for, it affects you and gives you life everlasting. You count for God. You matter to God. Everybody matters to God. Every single person. This is great news for all people. If you don't believe me this morning, go back and talk to the shepherds. They were ones who didn't count at all. Their number was never in the census. And at the end of that message that they got from the angel, they knew that their number forever counted in God's sight. And so it is with you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, what a special people we have here in front of us. Not because they sing beautifully or are more fun than everybody else, even though they are. Lord, I thank you for them because they count in your eyes. Every person counts. And so, Lord, may that give us great warmth this Christmas and help us to spread that to every person that we come across, just as the shepherds were asked. Great news for all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.